Will you turn over in your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3. If you're using your Pew Bible, you'll find that on page 1180. Colossians chapter 3. Hear now God's perfect and holy word. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked, when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abuse of speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed in true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do all your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. Thus ends this portion of the reading of God's word. Will you pray with me now? Oh, Father, we thank you for your word. We pray now that your Holy Spirit might open our ears and open our eyes that we might see and hear and understand. We pray, Lord, that you might press these truths upon our hearts, that we might walk in them. that we might believe them in light of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. On our way here to photograph a wedding and to be with you all, we got to do something fun with our kids. We went to an indoor water park as a celebration with them. And I love going to water parks because it's so much fun. There's all these crazy slides, but there's also crazy people sometimes. And I remember we were in the lazy river. This is one of our children's favorite activities. Have you ever been to a lazy river before? It's just slowly going around the same circle like you're in an infinite loop of coding. Child never wants to get out and you're okay, I'm done. Well, anyway, there's always these pinch points. So when it starts going around a sharp edge, and as we were going around one of these sharp edges, there was all of us bunched together real tight, some people pushing from the back trying to get the traffic jam through, and all of a sudden one of the inner tubes flipped over and a woman starts screaming at a girl who's standing there. The girl's no older than 13, and this woman screams at her and says, "I will beat you and I will beat your mother." And we were, whoa. That girl starts weeping, tears red. What did I do? I didn't flip over that inner tube. Why am I being threatened? Brothers and sisters, this is the heart we were given to at birth. A heart of anger, of lashing out. This is what we saw in the first family with Cain and Abel. There's conflict. There's broken communication in our lives. We see it all around us. And if you've been married for more than 5 seconds, have a brother or sister, or have a child, you know it's true in your life. Conflict and broken communication are inevitable. And yet God gives us a way in Christ that those relationships can be redeemed. In Christ, there is a better way. And so as we come to Colossians 3 and we look at this topic of conflict and communication, we're going to see that in Christ there is a path forward that's not of this world. So first, we're going to make sure that we seek the things above. Secondly, we're going to need to put some things to death in our lives. And lastly, we're going to need to put on Christ. Now, I need you to buckle up your seatbelts. We have a whole chapter to get through today. It's going to be a two-part series, though, so come back tonight because there ain't no chance I'm getting through all of it this morning. But first, put on Christ. Put on Christ. Read with me the first four verses. "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory." We need to put on Christ. Look at the things that it says here. "Therefore, you have been raised together in Christ." This is the true statement which starts this whole chapter. There's a warning that we need to take heed of real quick. The Bible is not a self-help book. Right? We could come to this passage and we could talk about conflict and resolution, but if we're just talking about things that we can do in and of ourselves to make our relationships better, just go get a self-help book at Barnes & Noble. It'll be less time-consuming. But it'll be on a wrong foundation. The foundation here is our union with Christ. Our identity as followers of Christ. We have been raised with Christ. And since we have been raised with Christ, we're able to do these things. The first is to seek the things which are above. What are the things you think about during the week? What is your daily information intake? What are the things in your life that you consume? Are you consumed? The world would love you to be consumed with whatever talk radio show or whatever news channel, or even if it's just the weather channel, they would love you to just consume the things here. Just be worried about the coronavirus. Just be worried about what's going on in D.C. Just be worried about what's going on in Harrisonburg. Just be worried about your health. Just read more magazines about how you could improve your life down here. Brothers and sisters, what does the Scriptures call us to? No, don't seek the things that are here on earth, but the things which are above. This is a lot harder than it sounds like, isn't it? I mean, we hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that He has saved us from our sins. And yet if somebody came to and asked you, who are you? Would you immediately say, I am a beloved son of God. I am a daughter of the Most High King. Or would you say, I'm a physicist. I'm a secretary. I'm a mom. I'm a pastor. Would you tie your identity to the thing that you enjoy? I am a XYZ baseball fan. I know all of you are Cubs fans, and that's probably what I might say. But what is your? Have you ever met someone like that? You meet them, and they you know right away that their identity is they are a Steelers fan. That's where they've wrapped up everything about who they are. As this happens to young moms all the time, is they love their children and pour their lives out in their children. And what do they find themselves? Like their entire identity is, I'm a mom. What happens when their children grow up and go away? What happens when you've tied your identity into your profession and your job career goes out the door? Brothers and sisters, we fix our identity in Christ. Our identity is as sons and daughters of the Most High King. It's when we center our entire being that we are children of Jesus Christ, that we are identified in Christ, that in Jesus' life we are alive, and in His death we are dead. When we say, like Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Is that our cry? Is that our identity? Can you so identify yourself in Christ and Christ in you that you can say, I'm dead in Christ. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to the curses. And I'm alive in righteousness because Jesus is alive, seated at the right hand of God Almighty. This is the foundation for everything else we're talking about. For everything in our life, if we want to have right and true relationships, we must be fixed upon that rock, Jesus Christ. You must have Jesus Christ as the cornerstone of your faith. He must be the one by which you build your entire house. He must be the one by which you build your entire career. He must be the one by which you build your relationships in this life. Your life must be marked by first putting on Christ. Put on Christ. That's how we first build our relationships and have right communication. But we're not always. We don't always do that. Indeed, that's not how we were born. If you look with me at the next following verses, verse 5 and following, there's a way in which we used to walk. A pattern of the old man that still we struggle with. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body is dead to immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. These are things of the flesh that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 7. The things that he knows that he is free from in Romans chapter 6. He's no longer a slave to sin. But yet in Romans 7, he still struggles with the reality of being in the flesh and the indwelling sin that still needs to be put to death. And here we have a list of these things. And I'm going to propose to you that each and every one of these things is a hindrance to your relationships with others and your communication with those around you. Look at this list with me. This command. Verse 5 is interesting in the NASB. It says, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead. That's a fine translation, but it's more simple in the Greek. It's just put to death. It's a command. Put to death. Put to death these things. Sexual immorality. The word for this is porneia. You wonder where we get our word porn from? This is where it's from. This is a thing that's not to be a part of the Christian life. And yet, I'm telling you, some of you men, And some of you young women, some of you women in the congregation, this is one of the things that rips apart modern marriages. That tears husbands from wives as they seek to find gratification in their minds and some type of other sexual satisfaction than they find in their spouse. This is the idea here. Any type of sexual immorality is what this is speaking of. Trying to find that physical fulfillment outside of the covenant bounds of marriage. Put that away. It's going to hinder your marriage. It's going to hinder your future marriage. It's going to hinder how you respond to women and men you interact with in this life as you think of people as nothing more than objects rather than people created in the very image of God. I plead with you, if this is something you struggle with, set up a time with Micah. Go get discipleship. Go get counseling. Put a blocker on your phone. Put a blocker on your TV. Put this sin to death in your life. The scriptures say, let there not even be a hint of sexual immorality among you. This will plague your relationships the rest of your life if you do not put it to death. Put to death sexual immorality. Put to death uncleanness, or as the NASB puts it here, impurity. Any type of moral corruption that you find in your life, just put it away. In Christ, you can say, that is not my identity anymore. I am not a slave to that anymore. Put it away from you. Put away the passions. These earthly passions. This is a hard one. Right? This is one that is speaking of any inordinate desire for something that might even be good. Right, this desire. So in counseling people, husbands and wives, sometimes husbands just need to back off from their wives and pray to the Lord rather than have inordinate desires for their wife. Right, that she's not an object of your desires. He might not be an object of your desires. They are the person you are to love, to care for. There's a boundary line in which that person just becomes an object. That's what this is talking about. Might not be comfortable to talk about, but this unrestrained appetite is what Paul is speaking about here. Put it away. It will hurt your relationships. It'll be a divide. This is what Romans chapter 1, these three things, is what Romans chapter 1 is talking about. This perversion of good things and turning it towards an evil thing. What was meant to be good, and desiring it and twisting it into something ugly. God says that that's not the way it's supposed to be. He's restoring marriages. He's restoring the marriage bed. He's restoring your passions and your desires. This is one of the things that people tell us in our day and age, your modern philosophy. You live it, you hear it, you see it. Turn on any television show, turn on any radio station, watch any movie, and it's just follow your heart. Follow your passion. Follow your desires. Brothers and sisters, some of our desires are evil. Some of our passions are wrong. And we need to turn away from them. I'm not preaching to you law. I'm not preaching to you just do these things that way you can have a good life or make yourself right with God. I'm telling you, you have been made right with God. And if His Spirit is in you, you can turn away from those things. You do not have to be a slave to those desires. You do not have to feel shackled and bound to the lustful passions of your flesh, but you can have freedom in Christ Jesus. This is what the scriptures tell us here, and it's a command and it's a promise. Turn away from evil desires and greediness, which is idolatry. I love how the NASB translates this here, which amounts to idolatry. This isn't one of those amazing things that greediness, right? We have all these kind of bedroom type sins before, and then all of a sudden greediness is just shoved right in the middle there, or right at the end. Man, this is, if you want to talk about the American dream, it's the American greed. Bigger paycheck, bigger car, bigger house, bigger retirement, bigger boat, bigger plans, better seats at the stadium, better everything, more, 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 more. I want to have what my neighbor has, but instead of wanting the truck, I want the premium truck with the navigation and the leather seats. Instead of wanting to just be content in the job I have, I want a better job. I want to even put my family underneath my seat and underneath my feet and do more and more and more for my own desires, my own goals in life. Brothers and sisters, greediness will rip apart of marriages. Did you know that it's over a third of marriages in America fall apart because of financial problems? And often when you look at the financial problems, the heart of it is greed. I'm going to love the things of this world, the things I want, more than what my family needs. It's idolatry. This is what I'm saying is when we find our identity as I live in the best neighborhood, I drive the better cars, I have the perfect house, I have the best job, when we have these inordinate desires for more, and we forget the priorities of what God has given us in our life, it's going to cause relational problems. Your bank account will suffer. Your peace will suffer because you end up serving the thing you desire. So what is it in your life you need to put away? All these things, verse 6 tells us, is why the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. This is why the wrath of God is coming at that last great day when Jesus will come and his robe will be dipped in blood, because people had greed, because people had covetousness, because people had inordinate desires. This isn't things to play around with, but this is sin to flee from. This is not how we are to walk. Indeed, that's what verse 7 says. This was how we once walked in our lives. It's not how we are to walk anymore. But those are kind of external things mostly, you know. But there's something that happens in verse 8. It goes to what Jesus said about our hearts. There are things we need to put off that in our hearts overflow out of our mouth. Look with me at verse 8. But now you yourself also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. You know, the sermon started with a illustration of a woman yelling at a teenager for something that wasn't her fault. And yet, bound up in my own heart is putting to death anger. Bound up in my own heart is having to confess to my son yesterday that I disciplined him too severely while we were hiking. Bound up in our own hearts is this flashpoint in which Micah used to tell me, your discipline point needs to be before your anger point. Our anger will destroy the relationships in our lives if we're quick to bite our teeth and to gnash our teeth and to be quick to angry or outbursts of anger. Brothers and sisters, this will destroy your marriage. This will destroy how you interact with your siblings. This will destroy how you interact with your boss at work. If you are a flash in the pan, hot-headed, ready to go, it's wrong. And it will ruin your relationship. And this is one of the things in which wrath is going to come. My kids and I like watching this movie. I'm not sure if you've ever seen it. It's called Inside Out. It's a Pixar movie. And there's this little red guy in there. He's shorter than everyone else. And when this red guy gets really emotional, he's the emotion of anger, all of a sudden fire bursts out of his head and he starts yelling at everyone. He's going to let them have it. There's a righteous anger. There's a righteous anger. But when that little red guy starts controlling how you respond to people, this is a sin that the scriptures are telling you that God himself is speaking to you by his Spirit now. Put away that anger. For the wrath of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. Be slow to speak, slow to wrath. Put away that anger. Put away that rage. The Proverbs talk to us about the man who is full of rage and wrath, the man who's like a city broken down without walls. Do you know that imagery of a city broken down without walls? During the ancient Israelite time, you would have the town safe within its walls. Imagine a modern castle. Right? We think of castles as a place where the royal family just lived, but that's not actually how medieval castles or even ancient cities worked. You would have the whole town within the walls of the city. And when a warrior tribe would come or a foreign army would come and they tried to attack, you would find refuge within the walls of the city. If you lived in the hinterland and the farmland, you can run to the city of refuge within the walled city. But if you're an angry person, if you're given over to wrath, the scriptures, Proverbs tell us it's like a fool with a city broken down without walls. Because when you just display your full anger, you're ready for all the flaming darts of the devil. All the woes of this life and the broken relationships will fall upon your head. Put away anger. Put away wrath. Put away wickedness. Put away wickedness. Doing what's bad. Put away blasphemy. Blasphemy is this interesting word. Again, verse 8, how does it translate here? Slander. The word is blasphemy there. It's this idea that you're speaking bad about people. Speaking bad about people. The human heart, our nature and who we are at birth is so set on tearing other people down. Right? The human heart is so filled with pride that anything we can do to just cut someone else down, we'll do it. Sometimes we don't even realize we're doing it. Sometimes we'll just say things and it's just cutting at the root of our marriage tree. Cutting at the relationships we have with others. Talk bad about coworkers. Talk bad about our spouse behind their back. Talk bad to denigrate our children rather than building them up. That's what Ephesians 4:29 condemns. Right? Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only what's good for necessary edification, that it might impart grace to those who hear. Are you using your words to build others up? I'm not talking about cheap flattery. Are you using your words to build others up? Or are you using your words to try to take out foundation stones? To just chip away at their reputation? To just make that person a little less liked by their coworkers? To make your children just feel a little bit smaller about themselves? To make your spouse feel a little bit less about herself? This is how this word blasphemy is being used here, this slandering one another. We moved to a small town in Iowa, really small town. You thought Beaver Falls was a small town. We don't have stoplights in our town. Small town gossip seems fun when you're at the gas station or when you're at the only restaurant in town until you realize how often it's just meant to cut other people down. Put away slander. Put away these deeds. It's going to break your relationships with others. Put away obscene speech. Abusive speech is how the NASB translates it here. This speech that's just... This is the type of speech that's just dirty talk. Coarse joking. Locker room conversation. I was in the Navy. And one of the things that Micah convicted me of and my wife convicted me of and my previous pastor convicted me of was, Brian, you can't be a Christian and have a sailor's mouth at the same time. And especially when our firstborn was, when Nathan was coming into the world, I realized if I don't ship up my language pretty fast, it's going to come out of his mouth. Put away filthy language. Put away that coarse joking. Put away that talk that you would be embarrassed to say in front of your grandmother. That's what this is talking about here. This is easy to fall into, especially if you're in an occupation outside of a Christian world, you know, where you're at Geneva or something like that. But if you work, I remember talking to a construction worker at church one time. He said, "You might not want to be my friend on Facebook." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because I work in construction. And sometimes people put things on my wall that I'd be ashamed if you read." The question is, are you encouraging that conversation by jumping into it? If you bring that conversation home to your family, it's going to cause conflict. This is what this is talking about. Brothers and sisters, I hope again that you don't feel weighed down by the law here somehow that I'm trying to tell you just do good, do good, do good so that God will smile upon you. No, that's not what this is saying. It's saying God has smiled upon you and His goal for your life, His purpose for your life, the reason why you exist to bring Him glory with your life is that you might have your relationships renewed. That you might interact with others in a way in which brings God's smile to His face as He beams upon you with joy. He already does, and He wants your life to come into conformity with that. And if these things are characterizing your conversation or your relationships with others, it is going to do the exact opposite. You'll look like a child of disobedience, and your relationships will not flourish in the way in which the Lord desires them and commands them to be here. So put it away. Put away all those things. Lastly, the last put away is do not lie. Do not lie to one another. This is the last sin of speech towards others that will destroy your relationships. Satan's the father of lies. Whose child are you? Are you a child of Jesus Christ? Has He given you a new heart? Has He given you a new creation? Has He made up, welled up within you a fountain of water that you might never thirst again? Or are you still tied to that man of death, sin, Satan, that great tempter who would want you to preserve your own life and say, oh, I don't want pain, and so I'm just going to tell this white lie? If you want to see a relationship destroyed quickly, tell half-truths. You want to see your relationship with your co-workers and your boss destroyed in an instant? Start lying. You want to see your children not know whether or not they're talking to the right person and whether or not they're actually able to rely upon you? Start lying to them. Make them promises you can't keep. Tell them things that aren't true. There are lies in which children, their parents, sometimes well-meaning lies, but even good-intentioned lies, their children will grow up with scars and behavioral patterns that are a long thread from those lies their parents told them. Don't lie. Right? Put off this lying. Put off this lying. But verse 9 doesn't stop there. Why? Do not lie to one another since you laid aside the old self with its practices. You are not a slave to these sins. You might feel that way in your life at times. You might feel that way in your life that I cannot possibly ever put to death this sin in my life. It might feel like whack-a-mole at times, but I promise you, if you put your foot down upon one sin, it can stay down. I'm letting you know that your heart is a fountain of all sorts of deceitful desires, and you might put your foot down on anger here, and all of a sudden your wrath is coming out over there, or your old habit of inordinate desires is coming over here, and you might have to be whack-a-mole in them, but that's our life. That's the whole point of Romans chapter 7, that when we find ourselves at the end of the struggle with our flesh, that the things I do not want to do yet I do, and the things I want to do yet I don't do, oh wretched man, who will save me from this bondage of death? Thanks be to God, Jesus Christ. The love of God has been poured out in your heart. See, when we come to this, and tonight when we come to the second half of Colossians 3, when we talk about the putting on, this isn't a ladder to get up to heaven. This isn't do all these good things, put to death all these good things, and as you put to death anger, you get one step closer to God, and as you put to death blasphemy, you get one step closer to God, and you put to death your lust, and so you get one step closer to God, and you just keep going up the rung, and maybe someday you'll get to the top of the ladder, and you'll be just holy enough that God will save you. Brothers and sisters, that's not what this is talking about. Look again at verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, if He has worked in your hearts, that is your dead past life. You are not shackled to sin. Brothers and sisters, sin has no dominion over you. You are not a slave to desires or passions or greed. Your marriage was made by God to thrive if you are in Christ. I charge you this morning as you go about to ask yourself, what am I feeding myself with? Are my eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty? Is my identity in Jesus Christ? And am I living a life that shows it? The Holy Spirit can well up these fruits in you, but you must abide in Christ. Move away from Christ, and these will become that much more dominating of your life. Fix your eyes on Christ, on His finished work, on who He's made you. Put to death these sins. Put to death these old patterns of life, that you might enjoy the rich fruit of repentance and the joy it brings in our Christian experience. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You, Lord, that You do not tell us to do these things by our own bootstraps, but You have given us Christ, who is perfect and who makes us perfect. Father, refine us with fire. Purge us with hyssop. Lord, we pray that You might redeem our relationships, redeem our communication. Father, please let us put to death the sinful desires and let us live unto You for Your glory because of Your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.